Don't take it so seriously. Lighten up. Trust the mystery. Lighten up. It doesn't matter anyway. Just enjoy your life. Get out of your way. Lighten up.
Welcome to Lighten Up with Bonnie Wirth on Empower Radio, an inspirational hour of conversation and interviews to help you shift perspective and create balance between being spiritual and human. Now here's your host, Bonnie Wirth, on Empower Radio. Lighten up.
Hello and happy day, sweet friends. I am so grateful to you in tuning into today's show. Today, we're talking about this beautiful gift of being an empath. And I'm talking beyond the aspect of being empathic or having empathy. We're going to take it into a deeper level in terms of those highly sensitive people that are out there that tune into my show and are part of my community, in helping to really understand what it is to be an empath, but more importantly, how it is to healthfully navigate what feels like a very difficult or challenging sensitivity to have. So I want to just, you know, invite into the idea here that when we look at the empaths of the world, when I speak about being highly sensitive, it means we are highly sensitive to more than just the energy of the day. It's about the energy of all things in all kinds of ways from all kinds of people because of all kinds of circumstances. And so what plays out, you know, as an empath right now, especially within the awakening of greater consciousness within the world, we're feeling it probably 10 times more than what we've ever experienced it before. Now, when I speak about the awakening of consciousness, let's take a look first off in terms of where we're sitting within the aspects of the here and the now. We're right in the middle of, you know, coming up to the middle of September of 2019. As I've shared with you before, 2019 is a massive year of what we can call manifestation. It is also the year where there is deep, deep healing that is taking place on all kinds of levels, and due to all kinds of situations and circumstances in every single person's life. We are experiencing now within the energy of heightened consciousness, a real shift, a dynamic shift in energy of the earth as a whole. So we really have moved from what was more of a three-dimensional energy, which is very, very structured, very and in kind of a way of a very external reality, to moving into a 5D consciousness, which is much more of the internal reality, and the vibration of the planet has shifted immensely. Now, for those people who are well on path and doing their thing as they've done for many years in terms of healing and progressing and evolving, there are still many people around the world that are still not awake, or what we mean by that is consciously aware to the fact that we are these spiritual beings having a human experience. Some of these souls have come on for purposes within this lifetime to strictly have a human experience, and they may never wake up to higher consciousness, and that's okay. It's not in a judgment. It's understanding that their soul came for a particular reason and a particular experience. But there are many others on the planet who have come to have a very spiritual, soul-directed life. Every soul has a mission. Every soul has goals. And just as those who will never wake up in higher consciousness, those are the goals of that particular soul. For others who are here to wake up to something more, if they haven't been consciously choosing it right now within the way everything is playing out within the cosmos and this shift of energy into 5D consciousness, there's a completely different interplay of things happening in their lives. And if we're not waking up and taking proactive action on our path, the universe has a very majestic way of shaking things up and waking us up to what really is the most important aspects of why am I here? What is my highest purpose? What am I here as a soul to achieve and accomplish in this lifetime? So there's many things that are playing up, and with a shift in energy of the whole of the planet as a whole, we are there is a lot of things being stirred up for many, many people around the globe. We're seeing this in terms of shifts and changes within relationships, shifts and changes within careers, within health, that can be very catalytic in waking someone up to the fact that they are here for something more in this lifetime. But when we look at humanity as a whole, we can look at things like natural disasters and we can look at terrorist attacks. I mean, today is really, we look at September 11th, probably the most imprinted memory around the world in terms of the terrorist attacks for 9/11. So we look at these imprinting energies and massive disasters and traumas that are experienced on a global stage that we witness in terms of being in part different ways in which humanity is being woken up. So we look at these imprints, these influxes. We know that everything within the universe is happening for us. There's nothing, you know, when we understand victimhood, we can live within human condition of everything happening to us. But when we get into a more aspect of spiritual maturity, we understand and know that everything within the universe by divine order and design is happening for us. And it's difficult as it is to witness or experience the chaos, the struggles, and the challenge of this very human condition that we are all in the midst of. It's also important to understand that there is a greater reason, purpose, and an actualization of something more for your life, for my life, and of course, for humanity as a whole. Now, we speak about the impact of energy, the impact of what it means to be a highly sensitive person or to be the empath. And we look at being an empath, first off, I want to say that it is probably the most beautiful, most profound, and most prolific aspect of a sensitivity to have. And the reason I say that is because being an empath helps to give us insight and gives us the hits, helps us to understand what's really playing out behind the scenes. It actually puts us into a proactive state. And by proactive, meaning when we are experiencing some energy, when we're experiencing the impact of these global imprints that are happening within the waking up of humanity, we have an opportunity that is being blessed upon us to help, to be of service, and really to bring forth more light or more love to the planet, especially during some of the most difficult and challenging times that can be experienced. Now, many people look at the sensitivity of being an empath as being something negative. And that's where I want to change it up a little bit here is to, you know, just say it actually is a very positive, a very incredible sensitivity to actually have. As I said, it puts us into a place of not only being an observer to what's playing out, but to be able to healthfully navigate it on behalf of ourselves or to transmute it and healthfully navigate it on behalf of humanity as a whole. Now, one of the trademarks of being an empath, when we look at, you know, what we can moan or groan about or the challenge, so to speak, of being it, is really about the fact that as an empath, as a highly sensitive person, we can pick up or absorb the feelings of other people's emotions, of their, you know, of their, this can be things in terms of the physical aspects of things, pain and discomfort within our bodies in terms of what's manifested. We can, you know, pick up other people's thought energy where other people's thoughts or paradigms interplay and become actively engaged. And we can't, you know, it can be difficult to know where do we end and where do we stop. Now, as empaths, we actually filter the energy of the world. We filter it through this sensitivity. It's a transmutation of energy. We're basically, as an empath, as a sensitive, whether we are conscious of it or not, we are absorbing what can be defined as negative energy and changing it up and returning it back into a higher vibrational energy of that of being of love. Now, it can be difficult and challenging. Now, the impact of the stressful emotions, the things that empaths experience, can be very overwhelming. And in fact, we can get into times when we are in complete empathic overwhelm. And that's a part of why today's show has come into conversation. It's about, let's talk about being highly sensitive. Let's understand what's playing out and what type of empath that you are or that I am. And then, of course, how can we healthfully navigate this to ensure that we're not becoming into the overwhelm state of this absolute beautiful ability? And it is an ability. I always look in terms of, and especially within this last year, I've really been doing my best to change the dialogue around what we have judged or perceived as a gift, and to understand that this is a natural and innate talent. It's a natural and innate ability. When we understand that, you know, when we can reframe it from being a gift, I have this understanding that when I was a child, and there would be something that I was really excited to receive for my birthday. Perhaps it was a new doll. And I was so excited to receive a new doll for my birthday. And then within a week of having my new doll, I might have done something, got into trouble. And as punishment, my new doll was taken away. It was put up on the shelf. I wasn't allowed to play with it as a form of, in order, you know, as I said, in form of punishment, or as a way to teach me in order to behave in better or more, in better ways. I don't know how else to really word that. So for me, having a gift was always something that could be taken away from me for one reason or another. And that can happen when we think of this aspect of our talents and abilities that are innate to our soul. They're not gifts. They can never be taken away. They are a part of who we are. They are just as much a part of us as our personality is. So nobody can take away our personality, and no one can take away our ability to connect with the other side, our ability to have this beautiful sensitivity of being an empath. It's not something we ever lose. It's who we are. And so therefore, you know, this is an understanding, the ability of it, the talent of it, so innate to our soul. And as it can be challenging for someone who is highly sensitive as an empath, as I said, we the impact of the things that play out in the world can take its toll on us in terms of very stressful emotions. We can feel things on an emotional level, on a physical level. It affects us on a mental level. But guess what? It also affects us on a spiritual level as well. When we look at being overwhelmed in terms of what we are absorbing or what we are feeling on behalf of the collective, it can cause things like panic attacks. We can suffer from depression, experience chronic fatigue. We can have, we can go through food or sex or drug binges. There can be all kinds of symptoms that can actually defy a traditional diagnosis. And what I mean by that is many people, and I know many, many people who have actually gone to the doctor as a result of some of the things that they've been experiencing, and those on the physical level in terms of illnesses that have begun to manifest as a result of what's been absorbed. But what is so interesting and always a little bit of intriguing to me is the fact that there is no medical explanation for why someone is feeling the way they're feeling. There's no medical explanation for why they have a pain in their back, or why they have numbness in their legs, or why they are experiencing migraines or the shoulder aches and pains. There's nothing from a medical standpoint that is going on. So we know and understand that everything that manifests within a physical experience has an emotional root cause. And sometimes that's a result of the emotions that we've suppressed as a result of our life challenges. But very often for an empath, it's about what's being absorbed or what's being felt as a result of the collective energies. And so that, when we're not dealing with it healthfully, can manifest itself within its own illnesses and symptoms within the physical body. It also can affect us in terms of what I said within the aspects of the mental body. When we understand and when we look at law of attraction, one of the things within the teachings of law of attraction is about the capacity to be able to shift from a negative state of mind within belief systems and things that are in limitation to that of a positive mindset, the one that is affirmative within life of being, you know, the aspect of being within optimism, within being faith-filled. What can happen, though, for an empath, no matter how positive they are within their state of mind or how many beliefs that they've shifted and transformed through with over a period of time or within their on their journey, there can be times where we're picking up the mental paradigms of other people and we begin dealing with these, or it can be difficult for us to get into our aspect of creativity or creation within the universe because of what is or what feels like a more negative state of mind. So to understand that as empaths, not only are we dealing with the emotions of other people, these emotions are manifesting into things that become physical impairments or dis-ease within the body, but also as well in terms of mental impairments or dis-ease within the mind. So understanding that, you know, when we feel too much, and it is possible to feel too much, that we can become overloaded. Now, empaths are highly sensitive. We are, as an empath, when I talk about the positive aspects of being an empath, when I say it is such a beautiful, beautiful ability, we have this capacity as empaths. We are naturally giving people. We are those who other people can share their life stories with. We're excellent listeners. We're open to the spiritual realm. We're open to spirituality in itself. We are the people that have our hearts wide open, who get it on a level that is way deeper than what can be comprehended. And we are the ones who are through thick and thin, through everything that plays out within the world, who are the nurturers, who are there to help, to heal, to have compassion. And we feel the hurt of other people. Empaths are very often told that they're too sensitive and that they need to toughen up a little bit, not take things so personally. You know, I know that for many, many years, I was that person who was told I was too sensitive. I was too emotional. And I looked at it as being something bad or wrong about me, or bad or wrong in terms of my capacity, even within my careers or my jobs or my relationships. And so part of me really cut back or cut off my capacity to feel, or detached emotionally from things, and not giving myself permission to just be within the aspect of my sensitivity. There's nothing wrong or broken about being sensitive. Again, it's a beautiful, beautiful gift. It's not about toughening up. It's not about cutting off and pretending you don't feel what you feel. It is about acknowledging, welcoming, and as I said, learning to navigate it healthfully. Now, empaths, again, we're highly attuned. We can't help it. We can't help it. It's just it's like our personality. It's who we are. We're attuned to other people's moods. We can sense when something is off. We know when somebody is upset or miserable. We know when they're showing up and they've got a smile on their face, but they're actually very unhappy on the inside. We are extremely sensitive to that negativity, to anger, to the anxieties of the world. And in fact, within empathic overload, it can become extremely exhausting. We are the people who need to be around peace. We need to be around love. This is the environments that we look to cultivate and culture within our own lives, not because we try to be better than, but because it is a necessity for us in terms of being able to thrive within our lives. Now, many empaths, again, because of it, we need time alone. We need time out. That becomes a really important part of it. And when we're not getting time out, when we're super involved in other people's lives and when we're overly experiencing the impact of the energies of the world, it can be difficult for us to be able to disengage. We get into this place of, yes, we need time alone, to the point where we don't even want to be around other people. In fact, empaths can be a little bit introverted. We actually pull away from people, not because we don't like people, but because it's a way of self-preservation, because we are so sensitive to what is playing out in the world of others. Now, there are many different types of empaths. And so again, a lot of them kind of coincide with a person's spiritual beliefs. But we do have the ability to perceive what is happening around the world, what's happening to other people, to animals, to plants. And I mean, yes, when there is a forest fire, an empath can feel the impact of what is happening to the environment, and so much more. And so when we look at, you know, understanding being highly sensitive, we're very highly energetic, aware of what's going on in everything around us, everything with everybody else, everything within the environment, within the world, and it can be difficult to know or to understand what's going on with us that is ours. So again, being alone is a great way because it gives us opportunity to be able to do that. Unfortunately, we don't have enough opportunity for that space, for that introversion that takes place. So being in a big group of people is very difficult for an empath. Big crowds, the noise of and the energy, you know, can be very overwhelming. Again, you know, we love kids and animals. And of course, kids and animals love us. So they're naturally drawn to our energy. As I said, you know, the emotions can sometimes be where we can experience six different seasons in one day, right? Even though we know there's only four seasons, we can experience six of them. That's what it feels like. We can go from happy to sad in a heartbeat. We can go from laughing to crying within a breath. Everything seems dramatic, and where a lot of people might see it as an emotional disorder, it's actually an indication of a highly sensitive person who is dealing with the overwhelm and the energy of others. So we look, so our mood can fluctuate, our emotions can fluctuate within any given time throughout the day. So there are many different types of set of empaths, and to understand that there are emotional empaths. Those are those of us who can sense and absorb the emotions of other people. So as I said, we know when they're sad, we know when they're depressed. We are very receptive to how a person is feeling without even having to ask. So, you know, saying to somebody, hey, how are you feeling today? You know what? We already know. We don't have to ask the question. We're already picking up with it. And we have this beautiful opportunity to address it with someone and to help them to feel better. Physically, of course, there's physical empaths where we're picking up on the emotional aches and pains and illnesses of other people. And so we can actually feel that within our own body and also take it on within our own body, as I said earlier, with no explained medical reason. There are also the intellectual ones. As I said, those are the empaths who are picking up on a different vocabulary or communication within beliefs, what is consciously being thought about in someone's mind, especially when it can be different from what's coming out of their mouth. We know what's going on behind the scenes. There are animal empaths, those that are highly sensitive, with an innate sense or knowing when something is going on within an animal's world. They're referred to as horse whisperers or dog whisperers, right? They have this ability to feel and experience the needs of the animal. There are also plant or environmental ones. Plants, of course, strong connection to the plants, can speak to the plants. Plants actually thrive in the presence. And these empaths are called to care for them and to nurture the plants. The environment, of course, we can look at the environment in terms of being the geomantic empath is what they're called, but they're super sensitive to what's happening in the physical space, in a physical space of a room, in a physical space of a building, or the environment as a whole. Put them into the middle of the forest and they know exactly what's going on, right? They know where the stress lines are and where things perhaps are, where there's, you know, experiencing some sort of dis-ease within the environment. There are also the spiritual empaths. I'm pretty much all of this, but as a spiritual empath or a spirit empath. And the spirit empath are those that are connected to another realm, who not only are feeling the humanity as a whole within a heightened sensitivity to the emotions and the impact of the energy of the world, but also because of their connection to the other side, to deceased loved ones. In the spiritual realm, we can feel the emotional and physical symptoms of the communication of the spirit world. So not only are we getting it from the collective, we also have the impact of the spirit world as well. And so it can be very difficult to, again, know, was it other people? Is this actually spirit communication, or is this something going on with me? So there are many different types of empaths. There's many different experiences that empaths have. And most importantly, there is the many different ways in which to handle this beautiful sensitivity in a way that can help us to thrive. And of course, that's the juicy stuff that I'm going to talk to you about after the commercial break.
Hi everyone, I'm Katie Couric. You know, girls who grow up with confidence are more likely to reach their full potential. I've interviewed world leaders, CEOs, and celebrities, but my most important role has been as a mom to my two daughters, Ellie and Carrie. I've worked hard to encourage my girls to see the world as a place of endless possibilities. They know that believing in themselves will give them the confidence they need to persevere. Research has shown that girls with high self-esteem are better prepared to navigate life's challenges, not only in their teenage years, but well beyond. So join me as we empower the next generation. Together, we can help today's girls achieve their dreams tomorrow.
This message was brought to you by the Alliance for Women in Media and made possible through the support of Dove and the Dove Self-Esteem Fund, working together to help girls reach their full potential. To learn more, go to dove.com.
Hi, I'm Linda Ellerbe. Did you know that every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news she has breast cancer? I got it 11 years ago, and I know how scary it can be. Everything your doctor says sounds like a foreign language. HER2-new, oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options, and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. The first place to go the minute you find you have breast cancer, breastcancer.org.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, one in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Don't take it so seriously.
just a mystery. Lighten up. It doesn't matter anyway. Just enjoy your life. Get out of your way. Lighten up.
Now back to Lighten Up with Bonnie Worth on Empower Radio.
Awesome. And welcome back to the show. We're talking today about the beautiful sensitivity of being an empath. Of course, prior to the commercial, I spoke a little bit about what it means to be an empath and the different types of being an empath. So if you're just tuning in, I would invite you to take pause, to take time out and, re-listen to the start of the show so that you're catching up with the full understanding of our conversation here today. So one of the things that we are talking about, of course, is how to thrive, or what could better be, be said, is also to recover from empathic overwhelm. Now, as I said before, we're really like energy vampires. We are sucking up the energy everywhere we go. We're like these sponges who start the day out completely light and dry. And by the time we're reaching into the mid part of our day, we're feeling very heavy and we've absorbed a whole lot of stuff that isn't even ours. So we are highly sensitive, of course, which makes us a mark for it. It's like, it's something that plays out that feels like we have no control over, but that's simply not the case. First off, education is power, awareness is power. And when we understand that what we're feeling may not be ours, it puts us into a position where we're better off at being able to navigate this healthy. So one of the things that I teach in all of my classes, because even though within the certification classes that I offer, as mediums, we are highly sensitive, of course, to spirit, highly sensitive to the energies of the world and other people's emotion, highly sensitive in terms of our empathic capacity. In fact, for those who are spirit empaths, I always explain it's like we have a dial on that turns up our sensitivity to empathic aspects. We turn the dial up on high. It's going at a full 10 out of 10. And so learning to navigate this in a healthy way is where we can actually have an opportunity for what I always refer to as a little normalcy. But really, what is normal other than that setting on the dryer? So we look at how can we manage this? Well, when we are in overwhelm of the collective and of the sensitivity to spirit and uncertain as to what it is that is ours, there is a really key thing I want to invite you to do for yourself is to begin to pose questions to the universe. And we pose a question simply by saying, who am I feeling? And I know it sounds like in posing the question, we would have the answer as to who it is. We would know that it was Sally Sue down the street about three doors down that was going through something funky in her life. That's actually not the case. When we pose the question, who am I feeling? What it is a recognition of energy. It's the fact that we are noticing that we have a feeling about us, an emotion, a physical ache or pain, some thought formations that are playing havoc within our mind. Or we are experiencing something on a level and we have this. And by posing the question, who am I feeling? With that question alone, it's enough to stop the energy. When we pose the question, who am I feeling, the very first time out of the gate, what it does is it stops the energy and it releases the collective. Remember, the collective being that of all the other people's emotions, their feelings, their aches, their pains, the imprint of the energy that's playing out on the world of the whole for many, many reasons. People's grief. I spoke about 9/11. Here we are on this day. The impact of grief, of trauma, of fear, of things that played out on that day. As empaths, we're still waking up to it. People who lived through the 9/11 and survived through it are still waking up to their traumas. And we feel the imprint of the day in history, but we feel the imprint of what everyone else is feeling in terms of their grief, in terms of their traumas, and the things that they're left to live through as a result of that day. So we are, when we say the question, who am I feeling, which is such an important question today, we release the collective. It gives us an opportunity to breathe. Now, if we're still feeling off and we're still feeling sad or we're still grieving or whatever it is that we're experiencing in the moment, being that we are spirit empaths, knowing that on that spiritual level that we are sensing the other realm at the same time, we simply pose the question again, who am I feeling? And the second time we look at posing this question is the opportunity to release the imprint of energy that's taking place from the spirit realm. It gives us an opportunity to have relief. We release what is not ours simply by asking the question, who am I feeling? If by the third time you have to ask the question because you haven't felt any relief up until this point, you will know that the grief that you're experiencing, the sadness you're feeling, the anger you're feeling, whatever it is that you're going through, even the ache or pain in your body, if it hasn't released by this point, you know that it belongs to you. And now you can take proactive action in order to heal, to go get a massage, to take care of you and nurture whatever it is that's going on a deeper level. So again, we look at it basically saying this question in three times. So who am I feeling releases the pain and energy and what we've absorbed of the collective. The second time we pose the question, it releases that of the spirit realm. And if we're asking the who am I feeling the third time around, we know it belongs to us. Now, the other way to tell in terms of, you know, the fact of, is it ours? What am I dealing with? Instead of being completely overwhelmed by what we're experiencing in our day, is to also recognize and to know that, you know, protecting ourselves with light or bubbling up with energy for an empath doesn't work. I'm going to tell you that right now, that when you are dealing with empathic energy, there's no shielding technique that is going to make a difference. A temporary shield can be a little bit of a solution, but it's the idea that in shielding, we need to protect ourselves. And what it does is protecting ourselves from the impact of energy of other people. You know, how often we hear or have been in part of conversations where, you know, people say, I can't stand being around that person. They suck the energy right out of me. They're so negative. I can't take it. We are sensitive to their negative emotion. We are sensitive to what's playing out around them. But it's not about us disconnecting and not associating with the people who are suffering in the world. It's about recognizing there's nothing we need to protect ourselves from. When we look at shielding or the idea of bubbling up, and of course, I've done shows on it in terms of, you know, of talking about the aspects of some of the spiritual practices that are no longer necessary because we've changed so much within the energies of the world and how we're working as the sensitive beings, whether that be within the psychic world, within the mediumship aspects, within the aspects of even being an empath. So much has evolved and changed, as have our spiritual practices. And there's some of the things that no longer fit. They worked for a while, they helped in the beginning, but they no longer have any capacity to neutralize what is taking place within the energies of the world. And so shielding really is very counterproductive, because in creating a field of light or a bubble to protect ourselves or to shield ourselves, it really plays upon the language of victimhood. And really, we're looking to get out of victimhood from a place of everything blame, you know, there being a blame of somebody doing something to us, in getting into that spiritual maturity that says everything is happening for us. So we look at, again, we ended up really resisting other people's energy, resisting what they were experiencing and their suffering, out of the fear and out of pain and almost as if we needed to fight against it. This is not about fighting against anything. This isn't about a war on anything. We're not looking to create a war against negative energy. That's not it. In fact, what it is about opening ourselves up to it, allowing ourselves to lean into what we're experiencing, to experience the motions and let them pass through us by not adopting them as if they're our own kid. Okay? This takes time and practice for sure. But what it is working within the expansion aspect, being able to expand love or to expand light. Because when we think about expansion, we are already light. We are already love. And what we're looking to do in these times is to expand upon what already exists, not start a war against what's out of a vibration, but to expand upon the vibration that better serves us. And what better way to serve us than through an expansion of light and love? So we look at working within the aspects of expansion, opening up to what is around us, as opposed to cowering, resisting, or contracting against it. No bubbling up. There's nothing to protect, because when we expand in light, as it says in the first page of the Bible, let there be light. And so we do this through expansion, which allows us to really take up the vibration in a way that is of allowing and without resistance. And when we are in allowing and without resistance, we are not adopting it as if it's our firstborn or our child into our life. We're not owning it. One of the healthiest ways to do this is, of course, with intention, to get into that breath of expansion. What is also really helpful, and this is a really key thing for all of the empaths out there, is to recognize that you are highly sensitive to the energy of other people. Let's just acknowledge and accept it. Let's not curse it. Let's not complain about it. Let's not trash it for what it is. It is a beautiful, beautiful awareness of an ability that you have, of greater purpose of who you are in this lifetime from your soul's perspective. So we no longer want to get into cursing what is there, but in accepting the fact that this is who you are. And when you can accept that you are a highly sensitive person, and you can accept the fact that there's a lot of the things that you sense and feel that have nothing to do with you, that they have to do with other people, that they have to do with plants and the trees, and it has to do with the environments, and it has to do with out of the spirit realm. When you can accept that, you can begin to recognize that what you are sensing or feeling may not be yours. And that's the key, is to begin to recognize the energy of whatever it is you're experiencing. When we say things like, I recognize the energy of grief, it means that we are acknowledging the fact that there's a lot of grief happening on a day like today, that there was a lot of grief in the world, that there's a lot of grief within our communities, or perhaps within even our own personal experiences due to a loss of a loved one. When we look at, saying, I recognize the energy of grief, the moment we do that, we are allowing the energy to pass through us. It doesn't become a part of us. We've acknowledged the fact that it does exist. We acknowledge the fact that it is, that we are aware of the fact that there's something playing out within or around us that may not be ours. And when we recognize the energy of anything, it gives it permission to carry on its way, to not become a part of our energy field. So I recognize the energy of grief. I recognize the energy of sadness. I recognize the energy of anger. I recognize the energy of a sore back. I recognize the energy of a headache. I recognize the energy of crazy negative thoughts. I recognize the energy. Recognizing it is your best friend. I want to say, if you adapt anything into your day-to-day life as an empath, adapt the perspective or the philosophy of recognition. Recognizing it gives it permission to pass by. To pass by, where we can be the observer. If we're recognizing energy, it can't attach itself. We're not absorbing it. And remember, our whole goal here is to navigate our day-to-day life in a way that we can thrive, and being able to recognize what is playing out around you as if it's not yours, accepting that you're highly sensitive, you're going to find is going to make your life so much lighter and so much easier than living within a state of overwhelm. This takes practice, and it will happen through time. But when we are in a place of non-attachment, it's a much better long-term solution to managing or navigating the empathic aspects of your ability in a much healthier way. So again, great tips, right? We look at the who am I feeling questions when we're feeling the overwhelm in the moment. And then in navigating it moving forward is to become very conscious of the fact that we are recognizing energy. We're recognizing it. That's it. When we recognize, we're not buying into it. We're not attaching to it. And the moment we don't attach to it is the moment that it becomes less possible, or in fact, it eliminates the possibility of that energy attaching to us. Pretty cool, right? All right. So we look at, okay, some other things. When we look at, you know, time alone, I mean, I spoke a little bit about that, you know, before the commercial break. As I said, this isn't about, you know, it can feel like it's too people-y out there sometimes for an empath. It's why we're introverted. We require space and time alone. If you have not made space and time alone a priority, then you're going to find that it will be difficult to navigate, difficult to be able to function, because when we are completely active in giving to others, active in engaging with other people, in acting of being of service to other people, we end up putting ourselves on the back burner. And time alone for an empath is so very important. Time alone to be with what is ours, time alone to have some reprieve, to recharge our batteries. And if I know for myself that if I don't get enough time alone, I don't even like to be touched. I don't like to have a hug. And I'm a hugger. I love to give hugs to people. But if I become too absorbed by other people's energy, I just need some space. And if I don't get space, I get a little miserable. I'm maybe not so nice. And I try to be a really nice person. And one of the things I've noticed about myself is that when I'm in a little bit of an overwhelm, it's where I have no patience for people. I don't want to be touched. I don't even want to hug. I don't want to listen to anything else. It's an indication to me that I need some time alone. And so because of it, I've incorporated within my own life, and I hope, and I really encourage you to look at doing this for yourself, of making time alone a little bit of a non-negotiable for you. There are many non-negotiables that we have in life. And for those of you that are students and have been working with me or tuning into my show for some time, you know that non-negotiables are those things that we do on a daily basis to help us to feel good, to help us to sustain or maintain our vibrational frequency. So we look at doing the very things that help to nurture and care for us. Some very simple things are, you know, I always look at the three basic spiritual needs. Those are non-negotiable for me. Everything from hydration to nutrition and to exercise. If I haven't done those three things in the day, the foundation of my day is not set into play. So I look at that as being a non-negotiable. I also look at every day creating a space and opportunity for some alone time. It's a non-negotiable for me. Time alone, not on social media, not engaged with anyone else or having a conversation, not interacting, but time by myself. And time by myself for even a half an hour, time by myself for 20 minutes, time by myself for longer periods of that. Of course, I mean, let's bring it on. I love that time. But at some point I get restless, and being the Gemini that I am, I need to talk to somebody after a longer period of time out. But we look at creating opportunities within the day, every day, to have a breather, to recharge, to do something that nurtures us. For me, one of the biggest things that I love to do is to escape into the bathtub every evening. And that for an empath works for many ways. It allows for time alone. And of course, when we get into having a salt bath, when we get into cleansing of water within our auric field, we begin to release some of the negative things that we've absorbed energetically throughout our day. A clean auric field before we go to sleep helps us to rest easy, but it also is what helps us to recharge. And so a bath is a natural way in which I can kind of kill. I don't like that saying too much, kill two birds with one stone. I don't like that. It's a beautiful way that I can solve two things at the same time. That sounds so much better. It feels so much better. So when we look at solving or bringing into a little bit of an ideal in terms of non-negotiable is to look at having that bath for a little time out on my own, as well as to cleanse and clear the auric field. We can cleanse and clear the auric field, of course, without having a bath, which is also something very important for an empath. So we look at putting some essential oils on our hand and just doing a little imaginary wash all around our body through the energy field. We can do it through prayer. We can do it through meditation. We can do it through the asking and intention of having that released for us. So there's many ways in which we can cleanse and clear the auric field. And if you're not currently in the practice of doing that, let that be an invitation to start today. To do it in some way or form before you go to bed at night, allowing you to completely detach from the energy of other people when you go to sleep so that you, sweet friend, can rest easier and can wake up feeling refreshed. But this brings up another point, and we talk about protection. Remember, we go all the way back. Let's rewind. For a few minutes earlier in the show, where we go back and talk about the fact that bubbling and shielding no longer work, right? We know that on a day-to-day basis. Let's talk about nighttime. That nighttime when we go to bed and we snuggle in with our pillows and we have a cleansed and clear auric field and we're just present in our moment because now we're recharging. When we look at through the nighttime, this is where I invite a shield of light to be able to cut and clear and cleanse and to release from my auric field. And then the invitation to shield, to bring in a beautiful energy of white effervescent light, that of being God's light, of creator's light, where only God's love can get through to me through the night. So that when I go to sleep, I'm not absorbing and taking on what is not mine in those periods and times where I'm in that state of unconsciousness, where I'm in my sleep. So this is the only time that I will use the aspect of shielding during the day. It's all about expansion, feeling into what I'm feeling, expanding and being the light. And at nighttime, when I go to sleep, is for asking for a shield, not for protection, but for a shield of white light that allows for love to give and receive love through the night, to do an energetic exchange with that of a higher power, that being of the divine, that being of creator, that being of something so much more. So, you know, it's this allowing where we're not in resistance to anything, but we are in full acceptance of our sensitivity and fully accepting of the fact that everything is energy and everything exists, and that we actually do have a little bit of a say in terms of what it is that we want to experience, not only through our day, but of course, what we're willing to experience through the time during the night while we're sleeping. So we go into, you know, the aspects of understanding that as an empath, yes, we are super sensitive beings. We are highly sensitive, and that we are experiencing all kinds of things in all kinds of ways at any given time and in any given moment. And when we realize this, we have better ways of being able to thrive within our own life. And some of these tips I just shared are, in my hope, in helping you to do that. Now, on the flip side, I think it's also important because in this, what we can say, judgment, because it is as humans, we judge when something is good, we judge when it's bad, we judge when it's positive, we judge when it's negative. But when we look at understanding of the other side of the coin, even when we're recognizing the energy, recognize the energy of happiness, recognize the energy of joy. You know, we want to look at that understanding that everything evolves and everything grows and that there's ways to experience even the good stuff in even better ways, which is, I know, some days hard to comprehend, but it's true. The better it gets, the better it can get. And so we look at recognizing everything within the energies. But it's also important, I think, very important to mention that we also need to realize that as an empath, not only are we picking up from the world around us, we are not immune from projecting our feelings onto other people either. Let's be honest here. As an empath, we can look at being this transmuter of energy, and we can look at what everything is, you know, out there and what we're experiencing. And it's important for us to be mindful of the fact that what we are feeling is projecting out into the world as well. And so we have, you know, sometimes being an empath and being able to identify the fact that we have the sensitivity to what's playing out in the world around us almost provides a little bit of escape. We have this opportunity to pin the blame onto other people or onto something else in terms of what we're experiencing. And yes, as I said, we are soaking up the emotions of other people. We are that sponge, but it also does not mean that we're not exempt from creating a little bit of an energetic disturbance from our own emotions as well. And it can be far too easy as an empath, as I said, where we get into blame, where we portray or feel as if we're being victimized in some way. But there is this understanding that we have a responsibility as being a highly sensitive person to not only navigate life healthier based on what we're absorbing, but also what it is that we're putting out into the world as well. This is a key realization for helping all of us to really heal whatever is playing up in our life, but also to distinguish what we are feeling, what is others and what is ours. And there isn't always a clean distinction. So we need to understand that we might be feeling 45% of what is other people and 55% of what's ours. Or it might be that we're feeling only 20% of ours and 80% is of the other people, or vice versa. Regardless of what that is, it's important to realize that we are in whatever percentage, even that 20%, we are projecting into the world. So becoming very conscientious of what it is we're feeling, feeling what we need to heal, right? You've heard me say it time and time again. We need to feel it to heal it. And this is where the responsibility comes into play for us to deal with our stuff too. And that we make choices and that we are conscientious of the energy that we're sending into the world, conscientious of the thoughts that we're having of others, conscientious of our own upsets or things in the world, and how it is that we are responding within our world instead of reacting to it. Reaction, of course, is from that place of ego. Where we get into response of something, we can do it from a much more heart-centered, higher place of consciousness so that we're able to manage things, you know, in a healthier way. So in wrapping up in today's show, yes, it's about what's playing up and happening around us, but it's also what's going on within us. And when we take care of what's going on within us, it becomes so much easier to navigate and deal with what is not ours. So my sweet friends, of course, if you need any help or assistance in dealing with what is yours, in helping to heal and move forward on your path and journey, you know I'm always just a phone call or an email away. I would love, you know, I've got these amazing coaching programs to really help you to progress and move forward on your path and with purpose in amazing ways. And of course, you can find more information about all of that on my website at bonnieworth.ca. Thank you so much for tuning into today's show, sweet friends. God bless each and every one of you. I wish you a very beautiful day. Bye for now.